Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When running a business, your employees can create all kinds of interesting situations, such as somebody isn't showing up when they're supposed to. And for that, you can talk to Bambi. With Bambi, you get access to your own dedicated HR manager, starting at just $99 a month. Visit Bambi.com/onion right now, spelled Bambi.com/onion, Bambi.com/onion.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
William!
Hello, Dom.
We have returned
to the Friendship Onion Studios.
The incredible Friendship Onion Studios. And I've brought your wonderful wife's designed T-shirt.
Can I clap your dug?
Can I clap your dug?
Wonderful Scottish term there. Can I stroke your hound? And unfortunately, William, I've tarnished it with a little bit of smoothie.
What kind of smoothie is that? It looks as if it's a diarrhea one.
Yeah, it does look like diarrhea. This is called the Espresso, as we know.
Espresso.
It's an espresso in Italy and all over the world. But this is the Espresso because I think they didn't want to get maybe in trouble with people thinking it's just an espresso. No, is an espresso that includes coffee beans, some chocolate, some peanut butter. It's very tasty, but it's also very stainy.
Oh, did you get it on the T-shirt?
I've got it on the T-shirt in three different places, almost in a triangle. Yeah. How are you? You've been away. You've been to Mexico.
I did. I had a little vacation. Haven't had a vacation for a while, I don't think. And me and my son went down to Baja, and we had a little bit of a surf session, and it was lovely. The water was nice.
Yeah.
The weather was nice. It wasn't too hot.
It was
a lovely little breakaway zone.
You got a wonderful tan. You look very trim. You got yourself a new haircut. You're showing up in a jazzy kind of jackety type vibe.
Yeah, I was rushing out the door, and I just this is all Russian. Will we have a Russian person on today?
Yes, we've got a wonderful Russian guest.
Well, a Ukrainian. Well, families maybe.
Maybe a combination of the two.
A combination.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
And you've been away surfing, so you've not been quite on your bulking schedule. But obviously surfing gets you big. It gets you a big, strong back.
It was quite a long paddle out, though.
Right.
And the waves were lovely. And I feel as though I got some exercise, but I kept eating as if I was bulking.
Mm.
So that's the main thing.
Great.
I think I'll put on another 5 pounds.
Good for you. Well, we should maybe consider getting a pair of, a set of weighing scales in here.
Yeah. Well, get a pair.
Let's get two of them.
Just make sure that they're correct.
Because I'm getting smaller whilst you're getting bigger.
You could be like the Amazing Shrinking Man. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, I want to get... It's interesting because whilst you're bulking, I'm trying to get lithe.
Virtually. What's your body fat?
Oh, it's not a lot. I would say my body fat's probably in the 12th percentile, 13th percentile.
I'm probably up about 75% body fat.
Yeah, but you look fantastic.
Oh, I look amazing. I'll give you that, Tom.
Peeling the onion.
Hey, should we do a bit of housekeeping?
Come on, Tom.
Housekeeping! Well, how much fun are you to keep a house so nice and true?
On you go, Bills. Go on.
Hey,
this is a
Jocelyn long from Manitoba, Canada, says, listening to you guys trying to figure out the geography of Canada was painful.
Oh.
Yeah, it was quite painful, actually. Jocelyn says, but overall, I was very impressed.
Thank you.
I was also not surprised that Manitoba was the one province that you hadn't heard of. Because apparently, we aren't known for anything special and we're normally skipped over.
Aww.
That's a shame, isn't it, Manitoba?
I've heard of it before.
However, my tiny town of about 1,000 people is famous for having the world's largest curling rock.
Oh.
Have you ever tried curling, Dom?
No, I'd like to. It's like large, what's the game in the pub? Shuffleboard. It's large shuffleboard.
Exactly. It's like a big rock. It's anyway, this is, it's just a giant statue randomly in our town. My question is, if there was a town named after you, what would be the statue, world record, that you were known for? Statue, world record, what would it be, is what she's saying. If there was a town named after you, Don Monaghan town.
The town of Don Monaghan.
What kind of statue or what would be in that town?
Well, I think in the centre of town, in Don Monaghan town centre, there'd be a picture of me in a gamer chair, slaving over my laptop with my tongue out to the side, hopefully winning a game of League of Legends. That would be the town centre. Everyone would say, where are we meeting tonight? Let's just meet at the statue. And it's me playing League of Legends.
I think that'd be good. Yeah. I'll meet you at the Don Monaghan statue. That's where people would meet. Curling rocks are made from granite from only two places in the world, Dom.
Goodness.
I thought it was only one. And it's called Ailsa Craig is the Scottish one. I don't know
Scottish.
Where the Welsh one is. Mm. But there is it's a little island and it's off the west coast of Scotland. And it's called Ailsa Craig. And all the curling stones come from there. That's
wow.
Amazing, isn't it?
So the ones that you see in the Olympics and all that kind of stuff. Is there a density to them that you don't find elsewhere?
There's something about that granite that makes it right slippy.
Mm.
You can throw it on ice and it'll just go forever. Mm. As long as you get somebody in front with a brush. I don't know where in Wales it comes from. Maybe somebody out there could tell us.
Mm.
If I had a town, it'd be me in the bath, wouldn't it, Dom?
Be you in the bath, sweating with your glasses on sideways.
Just enjoying some music. A little speaker there. Maybe a nice glass of red wine. Super hot bath. Like, uncomfortably hot.
Does not sound great.
And then, what's the latest thing I've added to my bath? It's just made it perfect.
Yeah, you've added a candle of Sean Astin.
There's a Sean Astin candle that I've got, a kind of religious candle.
Yeah, he looks like a kind of an apostle or a disciple, maybe.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. One of the apostles. Mm. And I like that. And then I've got Sean watching me in the bath. And I quite enjoy that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Billy in the bath. Lovely question there from Jocelyn in Manitoba. Got a question here from Charlotte in Manchester. Shout out to everyone in Manchester who said, if the Lord of the Rings story was remade with dogs,
ooh,
what breed of dog would each character be? For reference, my dogs are Lhasa Apsos. Is that right? Am I saying it right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Lapso.
Lhasa Apsos.
Lhasa Apsos. I don't know. Lapso.
It's Lapsus. Small, cheeky, and a little bit crazy, like Merry and Pippin. Well, what breed of character? Right, okay. Well, we can't do every character. She's probably asking for characters from the Fellowship. Right?
Yeah.
The Fellowship, the Nine. So they've done us. That's two, Lhasa Apsos. I'm going to say that Legolas is an Afghan hound. Do you know an Afghan hound?
Definitely an Afghan hound right. with a long straight hair. They're crazy looking things. What about Aragorn?
Well, initially I thought German Shepherd, but is that a bit too tough?
No, maybe that's right, actually, because it's a noble beast, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, well, that's Aragorn covered. How are we feeling about maybe Gandalf? Is he an old English sheepdog?
Oh, lovely, an old one.
Mm.
But still doing its best.
Still smart, but a bit slower than it used to be.
Yeah, lovely.
Boromir, Frodo, Sam.
Boromir, another Alsatian, another German Shepherd.
Slightly smaller.
Slightly smaller than the... Yeah, I'll give you that. Frodo.
Frodo's.
A collie dog.
Yeah, smart.
Smart.
Maybe a little bit too smart.
Yeah.
I like that. Sam. What's the most loyal? Is he a Labrador, Golden Retriever?
Oh, a Golden Retriever.
Golden
lovely.
Retriever for Sam. And then who are we missing?
Who's left? There's someone else, isn't there? Oh, Gimli.
Gimli. What about
a bulldog?
Yeah, I was going to say like a wire terrier, but bulldog's kind of good.
Ah, bulldog. Come on.
Yeah, I like bulldog.
Right.
Takes no messing. Is that it? Is that the entire fellowship?
I think that's it. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I want a thing me in there, though. Oh, what are they called again? A Great Dane. Who could be a Great Dane?
I mean, who's the biggest guy in the fellowship? Gandalf or Aragorn, really.
Yeah, well, maybe not the Fellowship. Then.
Also,
maybe
he's not part of the Fellowship, but you know those hairless dogs from Mexico?
Yeah.
Like completely hairless dogs.
Yeah, like...
That's Gollum, right?
Yeah, Gollum's one of those hairless chihuahuas.
It's got to be Gollum.
Lovely good question. Good question. I've got one more here,
Thank
Dom.
Thank you, Charlotte. Yeah, of course. Oh, this from YouTube. On you go.
This is Sarah from YouTube.
Mm.
Now, I think this is a great idea, and I think you'll agree it's a great idea,
Dom. I don't know.
Would you guys ever consider doing a fan art day?
Oh.
Fan art.
Fan art.
Like, put up an announcement so we all know when it is. A deadline. So we can work towards it, then all of us artist nerds who love Merry and Pippin can submit our art. I think that would be fun, says Sarah from YouTube.
That would be fun. Not only would it be fun, we could do an entire episode just on opening and talking about the fan art that we
received. Because there's some fantastic fan art comes in.
We've got great stuff, but there are some spaces behind, like right here. Look, there's spaces. Thank you, lovely master. Look at all the space up here above us.
Yeah.
Fan art.
Johnny Clues keeps saying he's going to put stuff up there, but he never does.
I think it's better to have people send stuff in. Well, what should we say? Should we say September sometime?
Well, in America, they have Labor Day, don't they? Because they say that's when schools go back and stuff.
Ah.
Which I think is September the 5th, Dom.
Okay, let's do...
September the 5th.
Anytime if you send us stuff before September the 5th, we'll look through it and then we'll do a special... Fanart episode.
Billy and Dom's Fanart episode. So please do whatever you do. Maybe you knit things, then knit us both a hat. If you do oil paintings, I would suggest using oil paint. Or if you use brass for sculptures, then do one of me in the bath and one of him playing League of Legends.
Yeah. Talking of League of Legends, should we do an update?
Yes. League of Legends update!
That was a big one.
How's it been?
Well, our friend Nigel has come to visit, staying with me since you went to Mexico. And we've been playing side by side, like brothers in arms.
Well, the thing about Nigel is that we all met on Lord of the Rings, so we asked him to be a guest on here.
Yeah, and tell
us all about his experiences on Lord of the Rings. But he decided to sit outside. And not bother doing that.
He's refused. He's point blank refused.
And could we get?
Yeah, I think we probably could. Not only was he on set, he was probably on average on set more than us because he had to come to work every single day. And there were days here and there where we weren't working.
And it went on so long, I think he had many jobs on that.
Yeah.
It'd be an interesting chat, I would think.
Interesting chat. He's a Kiwi. He knows all about New Zealand and knows about filming in New Zealand. He's been playing League of Legends with us since pretty much day one and he's refused.
So tell us about your League of Legends setup with Nigel.
Well, I've never played, I've never won five games in a row. And we won five games in a row the other night. And then we sat down and said, I wonder why that is. And we both agreed that maybe sat next to each other, there's a
synergy. There's a frisson.
Between my family and my business life, I've enough to worry about. I need the peace of mind of identity protection. But how do I know what protection I need? That's why I use Allstate Identity Protection. The best of identity protection from a brand you can trust. So much of life is logging into our digital lives. That's why Allstate developed an identity protection product that protects your digital life just like they do your physical life. With Allstate Identity Protection, they'll reimburse up to $1 million for out-of-pocket expenses, lost wages, and legal fees. They'll also cover money stolen from your bank accounts, 401ks, HSAs, and tax returns. At Allstate, they've been protecting the things people love for over 90 years. Not only will they monitor to help keep you safe, but should identity theft ever occur, their US-based customer care identity specialists provide expert support 24/7, 365, with an industry-leading 98% satisfaction score. Got a big or growing family? You can enroll your entire household under one family plan, spouse, kids, parents, in-laws, all for a flat rate that's less than you would pay for two individual plans and without the typical age or residency restrictions of where they live. Think the identity protection your bank provides is enough? Think again. The reality is that most financial institutions act only after fraud occurs rather than preventing it. Having comprehensive monitoring and coverage from AIP will help stop identity thieves in their tracks before
any major damage is done. What I love about Allstate Identity Protection is the peace of mind it provides. So when you think identity protection, think Allstate Identity Protection. To find out if your employer offers Allstate Identity Protection, head to AIP.com/onion. If not, get a 30-day free trial at AIP.com/onion. One last time, that's AIP.com/onion.
So you were sitting, how close to each other would you say?
Well, my desk, unfortunately, at my house is not that big. So we were pretty close. I would say there was a distance of around about a quarter of a foot between us.
And did you have on your gamer headphones?
No.
You just talked to each other?
Just put the sound through my monitor.
Right.
And we didn't play with our headsets, which meant that our other friend, Andrew, who wanted to play, I said, unfortunately, we're not on headsets because we're just talking to each other. So Andrew said, okay, I'll sit this one out.
Well, that's a shame for Andrew.
It was a shame for Andrew, but it was great for us because we won 5 in a row, never done that before. And we jumped around, played Teemo, played Misfortune, played Lux. Nige played Misfortune, he played Pyke, he played Veigar. We smashed him, 5 in a row.
For people who don't know, when you play League of Legends, depending on who you're playing with, if it's better players, then you play other players on the other team who are better. You know, so they match the sort of levels. And the thing is, Andrew is actually better than all of us, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah,
so when he does play with us, we're playing better people.
Way better.
So you might not have got your 5 wins.
If we'd have played with Andrew, true. And also, as you win, they also ramp up the quality.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
So by the 5th game, it was probably difficult.
What Nigel and I were saying, maybe we want to lose one relatively soon here because the standard is going up. But then we just thought, let's just keep going.
Let's go.
So we won 5 in a row and then I think we lost 2 or 3 in a row.
So you guys played like 8 games of League of Legends?
No, it was just one time that we did 5 in a row and then the night or the day after, we played and we lost 3 in a row. And as you know, when we lose, Nigel's voice gets very deep. It gets a lot deeper. Doesn't like it.
Nah.
So we had lost one night and I said, I'm off to bed, Nigel. And he said, I'm going to play one more on my own just to see if I can get a win.
Yeah, you get to bed. Put the lights out.
And he got a loss and a win. So that's your League of Legends update. Tons of fun.
Tell us what you guys are doing on League of Legends. And if you've got any tips, also give me some tips because I still don't know how to play.
Specifically, Heimerdinger tips because that's who you play. Or tips on as to how you unlock your camera and don't feel like a ruddy fool when you do it because you still play with a locked camera, don't you?
I still play with a locked camera and also I still don't get things like, you know, 3 hits and then your 4th hit is harder. Like, what's all that? I don't get all that stuff.
Mm, yeah.
I'd like to know how all that works, Dom.
Yeah, because sometimes your abilities will make your basic abilities way stronger. So sometimes it's like, do your Q,
back,
then do an A, then do another Q, and then your second A is like 3 times more powerful. Yeah, things like that.
But how do you know?
You just have to kind of read about. I recommended Reddit to you a while ago. Do you remember? And then I recommended a Reddit quantum physics page while you're in Mexico because I thought you'll be coming in after a surf. You'll have that lovely post-surf feeling in your body and in your mind where you just kind of relax. A little glass of wine, a dozen oysters, hopefully ones that don't make you feel sick. And then you jump into a Reddit quantum physics chat. You didn't do it, did you?
I didn't, no.
Did you have oysters that made you feel sick, though?
Yeah, I did.
Did you try one of them and thought, not sure about that one?
Yeah.
Really?
And I still ate it.
Now, what does a bad or dodgy oyster taste like?
I don't know, just not quite right. And it was already in my mouth, and I was ready to put it out my mouth. And I thought, it's too much trouble.
It's a little bit more trouble later on, right?
I just swallowed it, and then I felt bad last night. I was sick, Tom.
Good job you weren't sick on the plane.
No, I was all right in the plane, but when I got to the house, I felt wheezy. And then I felt as if I was in the third person. I thought I was myself looking at myself.
Oh, yeah, witnessing yourself.
And then the second self went into the toilet and it was coming out. Yeah, it wasn't good.
Now, could you talk me through, how does your personality change when you're vomiting? Are you a tidy vomiter? Do you cry? Do you get weak? Do you sweat?
Well, it's a private occupation. Well, it is for me. I don't want anybody in there holding my hair back or rubbing my back.
Yeah,
You tend to go through your sicknesses on your own.
Yeah, I do. I take my top off.
Oh?
Not always.
Okay.
Not all sicknesses. Right. Like, for instance, a sprained ankle, I wouldn't take my top off.
Yeah, I understand.
But if I'm being sick into the bowl,
yeah,
which I haven't done for years.
Well, sometimes the T-shirt can feel like it's going to stick to you.
It's,
you know,
too much, isn't it? So, yeah. Well, and then I wanted to feel the coolness of it. I wanted to feel the coolness of the pan, but, you know, that... I mean, a pan's used for defecation. I don't want to touch it.
Yeah, you could hug the base. I don't want to touch
it. But I don't want to be near the base.
Yeah, it's cold, that porcelain thing. Against your cheek. Oh,
so I did what I could. And
how many vomits?
I hadn't eaten, you know, other than a packet of Skips.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's bad. You don't want to follow bad oysters with a packet of Skips.
Oh, my gosh, what I did.
Oh, you poor thing.
And then I had a lot of water because I was trying to hydrate. So it was like, it was just Skip flavored water that was coming up.
And did you get, my least favorite one is the dry one, you know, where nothing goes.
No, I never got to that stage because it was always the prawn cocktail water that was, I was getting.
Was your wife knocking on it? Billy, how you doing?
When I'm not feeling good, she lets me.
She leaves you alone.
And then if I commit, everything okay. And I feel like I'm in the third person.
Also, sometimes you don't want to be around another person when you are going to vomit because you can pass it on.
Oh, you can, yeah.
Like the domino effect.
That's exactly.
Vomino effect.
You can boom, 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 boom.
And then everyone's puking.
The whole street's puking.
They're hearing you, or maybe they're catching a little, the downwind of the acid in the toilet.
Everybody's got a top off. Mm. Feel better today.
I tell you, I was sat on a plane, I can't remember where I was, I think I was going to one of these conventions, which, by the way, Toronto. End of September.
September the 28th, which is my birthday.
Oh!
We will
save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We'll be doing a live Friendship Onion in the city of Toronto, which is in Canada. If anybody is going and wants to bring me a gift for my birthday, please do. Dom will get very jealous, so please bring gifts for him as well.
I do get jealous when Billy gets gifts. Also, if you'd like to attend the Friendship Onion live taping in Toronto, you can get all that information at Fan Expo Toronto online. Come see us. We'd love to see you there. We'll be doing a birthday extravaganza celebration for Billy.
Can't wait.
I was on a plane going to one of these conventions and a lovely gentleman, he was probably in his early 70s, I would say, came and sat down next to me and the plane hadn't taken off yet and he reached for what I thought was going to be kind of a magazine and he pulled out a sick bag and I thought,
oh no, I'm
going to watch this just to be mindful. He opened it up and he had it opened in his lap.
Right.
And I just kind of gave him a couple of little side glances when he wasn't watching. Sweat just coming down
just
the side of his temples.
The sweat starting.
And at that point, I thought, I should probably ask if you're all right. Would you want anything? I said, are you okay? And he looked at me and gave me a lovely smile. He said, I'm a very nervous flyer. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, would you want some water or something? He said, no, I'm okay. And then the air stewardess said the same thing. He said, I'm fine. As soon as the airplane started to pick up a little bit of the pace with the wheels and stuff, he shut his eyes. I was doing deep breathing and I just thought there's a chance here that I might get caught in some of the ricochet, but he just passed out. I think he had actually asked for just a tonic water, and when they came he was asleep. And the lady kind of looked at me and she said, do you want it? And I said, yeah, I'll
stick a gin in it and
put a gin in it and,
I'll take that.
But I've never been sick on a plane, but he looked like he was pretty touch and go, this man.
I don't think I've ever been sick on a plane.
No, I get excited.
Remember that
on
one time you got really sweaty on the plane?
No.
Oh, no, that was Lost. I remember it now. Sorry.
Yeah, that was the character that I played on Lost, who was a heroin addict. And I think flying when you're doing cold turkey is supposedly not
recommended. It's not for the best.
No.
Not for the best. Dom, there's one left. You want to do it?
Oh, I'll do it. Here we go. This is from Emily in Arizona. Lovely part of the United States. Very hot. who said, re the film Lightyear, which we got into a while ago, said, hi, Dom and Billy. My name is Emily. I live in Arizona. I love the podcast. Wanted to help Billy with his distress over the film Lightyear. In case you didn't know, there was an entire animated series when I was a kid based on the idea that there was a real Buzz Lightyear out there that the Buzz in Toy Story as an action figure is based on. He and his team go on all kind of universe-saving adventures and fight their arch nemesis, Zurg. I would assume that the new movie is more of a nod to this animated series than the original Toy Story film. Hope that helps you go to the movie with a little less distress. I'll tell you right now, Emily, Billy is not going to see that film.
I still don't. Because here, right. If Buzz Lightyear, the toy that we know from Toy Story, is based on a real Buzz Lightyear, a real astronaut, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who goes into space and fights Zorg and all these other people, then the planet that that toy is in, we would know all about Zorg and all that.
Well, we do know about Zurg.
But only...
It does feature in the Toy Story films.
Only through the toys, only from the toy... Like, the mum and dad of the boy...
I see what you're saying.
They don't say, oh, I wonder what's happening in
on that galaxy, right.
It doesn't seem like the planet where we're at war with another, you know, alien race.
I understand. So what you're saying is, in Toy Story, it's a very self-contained issue between toys.
It's just a toy thing.
It's not a world thing. And then suddenly in the Lightyear thing, they're saying there actually was a real human astronaut that went and fought these battles. And you're like, well, that breaks the whole...
Well, that I think their mum and dad would be talking about that. They'd be saying, should we send our son to space school to fight Zorg?
I understand.
I still have problems.
No, you're very...
I should go and see it before I say anything.
Yeah, no, you're very strict over the whole... You're very strict over the whole sci-fi thing.
I like things to have rules.
I'll
tell you what I've just heard. I just read.
Did you hear it or read it? You were very passionate about both of those.
I just read it.
Okay. And you heard it in your mind?
They are making a movie of Rendezvous with Rama.
I have no idea what that is.
It's one of my favourite sci-fi books.
Really?
I'd like to be in it.
Rama, the kind of god?
Rama is this like spaceship god that comes, we don't know where from, and it enters our solar system. We don't know it's a spaceship. It's just a big shape.
Yeah.
And we send up astronauts, and they go inside, and it's hollow. There's nothing. And very quickly, it starts to evolve.
Oh, this is the book that you keep talking about. Evolution rapidly occurs.
Rendezvous with Rama.
You ought to be in that.
I want to be in it. How do we make that happen?
I think maybe just ask people out there to start a petition. You'd be great.
I'd like to be the captain.
Yeah. Okay. Let's work on that. Brilliant.
Thanks, Dom.
Hey, we've got a guest this week, William.
Dom.
Yeah.
Are you going to do the intro?
I think you should. You're a much better reader than
me. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Because this is very interesting and very exciting for us. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Anya Zova. Anya Zova is a comedian, actress, and professional athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Born in the Soviet Union and raised by Ukrainian mother and Russian father, she worked in the WWE competing in their developmental territory, NXT Wrestling, under the ring name Anya. She is a founder of acting school Miami, Anya Zova, and author of Zova's Acting Technique. Now, her real name, or her given name, was Bogomazova.
Lovely.
How's that?
I love it.
I'll better ask when she comes in. Bogomazova graduated law school and won the Kickboxing World Cup in 2011.
Wow.
In 2020, Bogomazova made her debut on the US television sitcom Brooklyn Nine-Nine and TV series MacGyver. In April 2022, she toured the US with her own comedy show, Make Laughs, Not War, which is really interesting. I want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
In support of Ukraine and in uniting people. So please welcome onto the Friendship Onion, Anya Zova.
Hello, Anya.
Hi.
Hi, Anya.
I'm good. I'm very happy to be here.
It's lovely to see you.
Yes, it is lovely to see you.
What
have you been up to today?
Today I worked out, replied to some emails and drove here.
What is your general workout? We've been talking about workouts. We're doing opposite things. He's trying to get super lean.
Lean. Stripped.
I'm trying to get big.
But like bulky, you want to get like bulky?
I want to get like as big as I can get.
I just eat a lot of protein.
I'm doing that. I'm just eating nonstop. Yeah. I don't think I'm lifting enough weights. I just eat.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. So you need to lift weights.
What is your workout these days?
Well, because I used to be an athlete, like I have so much muscle memory. So if I start weighting, doing heavy weights, I get bulky and I'm going to look like a man. And I don't want to look like a man. So I do like my own, with my own body weight exercises, like HIIT workout. And I found out this nutraceuticals Pure Bar. It's kind of like ballet club, but it's not ballet.
That's
but
what
it's
Billy's like a, wife does.
My wife teaches.
No
way. Pure Bar.
Where? Which one? Which location?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say because...
Okay. No, don't say.
We'll
somewhere
do that
in
off
Los
camera.
Angeles.
Yeah, yeah. But I love it. I go... Well, I'm not going to say where I go. But yeah, I go to a couple of studios in LA. For me, I start seeing changes in my body like after 3 weeks. I'm like, this is magical.
Isn't it good?
It's well, you see your wife all the time, right?
Yeah, I see her every day.
She looks amazing, right?
Oh, yeah. Incredible.
It's the best workout ever.
Well, that's great to hear. Listen to that, Ali. See, Anya loves it. There you are.
Yeah,
so, yeah. She's probably been your teacher at some point.
That's amazing. No,
you guys can talk together. I'll make sure that you...
I love it. Honestly, for women, I feel like it's the best workout ever. It just leans you down. Like, if you want to get lean, this is what you need to do.
I would like to get lean. So my thing is...
Why don't you do Pure Bar?
Yeah. And also flexible, right?
Yeah, you get... Is there one guy who always comes to our gym? It's a little bit weird. It's like 10 women and one guy.
But no, everybody, he's smart.
He's smart. But everybody welcomes him and he's like, so you should do it.
I would like that. Because the thing with me, Anya, is even though you might not see it very easily, and it is quite an affliction, I'm quite tight in my hips. I know.
This is something you can work on. Mm. But for men, it's normal. Men
to be tight in the hips?
Yeah, but usually women are more loose in the hips and this is what like, it's our nature, you know?
Right.
It's okay. So if you do stretch and stretching is something you can do every day.
My wonderful mother, hello, Momo, had a double hip replacement. I don't want to have a double hip replacement, but I think I'm on my way.
Well, you've got to do some squats, you see.
Okay.
Keep it strong.
Now, you were a kickboxing world champion. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I was back in 2010.
That's
incredible.
Me and Dom have talked about this before. To be world champion at anything is that what a place to be in your head.
Yeah.
That at some point in the history of mankind in this world, you were the greatest at something.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's normal maybe to like this desire to be like the best at something.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was a kid, like my parents brought me like to calisthenics, like rhythmic gymnastics.
Uh-huh.
But I was very tall and muscular. I was skinny kid, but I was like taller than anybody else. And like at some point, like after 4 years doing it, my coach was like, well, listen, she's not going to get anywhere with that. Just... you guys have to quit, you know? So I quit that. And then I'm like, what am I going to do? But like, my father always wanted a son, you know? So like, I remember we always had like boxing gloves. He always had a boxing bag in our house in Russia. So like, I always was like, he was, try to box. And then he was like, well, for self-defense, you're like, you're 14. Like, you know, you hang out with older
pretty
boys.
Woman.
Yeah,
right,
like,
right.
And back then in Russia, it was like something always happens. Like in Russia, something happens. Like you cannot have your phone on you, like your jewelry, like you're getting robbed, like, on streets every day.
Okay.
So like for self-defense, why don't you do that? And he brought me to the gym. I was the only girl, all the boys in the gym. And I loved it. And I started doing very well. And my coach, he brought me to nationals after like 6 months of training, which I was not ready at all. And I lost. And after I lost, I was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Never lose again.
Ooh. So it was a headspace that you got into. And where was this in Russia?
I grew up in Voronezh. It's southeast of Moscow, like 6 hour drive.
Okay.
Well, my mom is Ukrainian, father is Russian, but I was raised in Russia. So all my life, I consider myself Russian.
I did a lot of martial arts when I was younger.
What kind?
All sorts. I did Bruce Lee's art. And I did Filipino Kali.
What is it?
It's like stick fighting from the Philippines. Oh. And I did Muay Thai. And the thing I could never get over is getting hit. I never liked getting hit. How do you get, like... you know what I mean? When you went to spar... and like you'd learned everything and then someone punches you in the face. It's a horrible feeling.
It is, but it's going to sound horrible, but you're kind of getting used to that.
So you just sort of got used to it?
You get used to it. And it's at the beginning, it hurts. Like everything hurts. Like even your legs from kicking somebody hurts.
Uh-huh.
But it's eventually like, okay, it's not that bad. And you don't take it as a, I'm hurt right now. This is just a state. You're very focused when you do martial arts. Like you're 100% in the moment. If you zoom out, you're gone.
Right.
So I feel like this sport teaches you like to be in the moment. Well, any sport. You have to be like, if you serve, you have to be in the moment.
Yeah.
So you're 100% in the moment. You don't think about pain. It's going to hurt after.
Okay.
After the sparring is gone.
In the moment.
In the moment, nothing hurts. Mm.
And you were mainly based in Taekwondo, is that right?
I also did Taekwondo because I was like super flexible after gymnastics and like, I would throw my legs over my opponent's head.
Right.
And my coach like, okay, you're not allowed to stretch for like a couple of months because we need to like bring your flexibility a little bit down.
Right.
Or fight somebody taller.
Yeah. But it's hard. I'm like 6'1". Like, you know, there are not that many tall guys to spar with. Women, forget about it. So yeah, I did Taekwondo to help me with kicks. And my coach, he was boxer. So like then we combined both techniques together and then it works. But I'm like had a huge advantage. I didn't get punched as much as other people because I'm tall.
Ah.
And it's all about learning the technique, like Klitschko, like they're tall, like why they became champions in boxing, because they developed this technique where you don't let your opponent come close to you.
Mm. Ah, so you're always keeping them away?
Always on a distance, always. So I know if I let them in, I'm going to lose.
And you're
constantly jabbing?
Jabbing all the time, jabbing, and there's a front kick constantly.
Oh, like a push kick?
Constantly.
Right.
You don't have to, like otherwise, I know if I get in close distance, I'm going to be gone because my leg arms are longer. So it takes, it doesn't matter how quick I am, it's still going to take for me longer for my punch to reach.
Ooh,
and you had quite a famous coach, right? A Russian coach.
He's pretty famous now. Yeah, he's big. He's raced multiple champions.
Yeah.
I was the only girl. Like he didn't want to take me in. He was Muslim. He's still Muslim. Russian Muslim. And he's like, I don't train girls. Like he's like,
really?
He's like, is there only guys in the gym? You're going to distract them. And so I was like, please. I was begging him. He's like, okay, you can wear only like baggy clothes, wear a bandana, cover your head.
Right.
And he's like, I'm not going to pay attention to you. Just copy whatever they do. So for like entire, like I would say first 7-8 months, I was just copying whatever guys were doing. He wouldn't let me spar. But then he saw me not giving up. He was like, okay, now I can put you to spar and train.
That's a tough learning.
Yeah.
Now, do you watch any, we were just talking about it before the show started, do you watch any UFC?
Not as much as I used to. It's hard sometimes to watch. Like, I know how hard it is for them, you know, like the experience, the pressure, and like, there's like money involved and they have families and to feed, you know? So, but I do, I love MMA, I love boxing.
Because they obviously combine a lot of different styles. There's a huge amount of Greco-Roman wrestling in there and jiu-jitsu. But there is quite a lot of kickboxing too, right?
There is a lot of wrestling too. Like, and wrestling is hard. I feel like grappling and jiu-jitsu, it's even because you waste so much energy on wrestling because you put your entire body weight on it. So yeah, I inspire, like those guys, I admire them. Whatever does MMA, it's the hardest thing ever.
Yeah, I think those combat sports, there's something really kind of, I don't know, so real about it, isn't it? I mean, any other sport, you're like, okay, there's this involved or the car's involved, but this is just two people saying, okay, who's going to win this chess match between us?
Yeah.
And so you went from the kickboxing then into wrestling, right?
Well, yeah, when I moved to the States, I was like, okay, what do I do now? Like in kickboxing, I kind of did everything I wanted. Like you win the World Cup, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
So, and it's not Olympic sport yet. Like they've been trying to make it Olympic for many years. Hopefully one day, we're really hoping for that. So I'm like, okay, what do I do? Do I switch to boxing? Do I switch to MMA? Because boxing is female boxing now, Olympic. I'm like, okay, that's good. Because I was always, I would love to be in the Olympic Games. And then I got approached by WWE. And they're like, do you watch wrestling? I'm like, not really. Like, I know, like, The Rock. I know a few, like, Ric Flair. You know,
right.
Like, I know a few people.
Hulk Hogan,
yeah. He's like, why don't you watch wrestling? And we would like to invite you for a tryout in Tampa. Back then, I was living in Miami. Like, in Tampa, like, 5-hour drive. Come for a week. Train with us. And we'll see. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay. So I did that. And I remember I walked into the gym. I was like, it's like four different rings. And it's like very, like you see people working really hard. And I'm like, oh, this is not fake at all. Like you see those bumps and they're falling for real. And somebody's just jumping from the ropes. And those guys are huge.
Yeah.
Like on the cow, like with this body weight, it's not easy. Like I've been doing gymnastics. I couldn't do it because I was too big for that. Like, how is he doing it?
Yeah.
And I fall, like, I remember my first training, the guy pulled me up and like body slammed me. I'm like, wow, that hurt. Maybe I'll have pain. I don't know what it is. I was like, that hurts. I want to learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had tremendous respect for them after I saw the tryouts. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's not fake. It's not ballet. It's not like what people think it is. Yes, it's choreographed. You know who's going to win. But all the moves are real. Like, you have to be really...
Yeah, they're athletes.
They're athletes, yeah.
Absolutely.
And they did acting. I remember my favorite part was like once a week we had acting coach, Dusty Rhodes, who's like a famous wrestler. Back then I fell in love with acting. I'm like, this is fun. They put like you in front of camera. All the wrestlers sit behind the camera. And for 30 seconds or 1 minute, you can say whatever you want to say. Like you challenge somebody, you know?
Right, yeah,
like you talk
yeah.
shit about somebody. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I'm allowed to do that? Like, yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be mean. I'm like, okay.
And that's what got you interested in acting.
Mm-hmm.
So just to go back a little bit. So you're in Russia. What made you think... So you're a world champion. And you thought, I want to live in America? Or did something bring you to America?
A good question. Growing up, I felt like I always wanted to move. Not because my life was bad. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, my family went through... We were rich and we were poor. Rich again and very poor again. So it's like a lot of ups and downs. But... I always felt like I want to be abroad. Like, I want to challenge myself. Like, okay. I always knew I'm going to move. I remember when I was, like, 16, I found a college in Canada and I begged my parents to sign the release form for me to leave. And my father wouldn't do it. He was like, no, you, like, after you graduate college in Russia, do whatever you want. And I was crying and crying. And then eventually I went to school in Russia. And after I graduated, I'm like, okay, where do you go? And I knew some professional boxers in Miami. And I know I can train with them and they can help me out. So I'm like, okay, let me go at least where I know some people. So I feel like I always wanted to leave, but not because life was bad. Just I had the best childhood ever. Like you grew up on the streets in Russia. You know, it's not that here. Yeah. Kids like not allowed to be on the streets. Like you grew up on the streets. Mm. You learn from other kids. I just wanted to challenge myself. Like I'm like, let's do something different.
And with your parents being... So they're here with you now there in the States. So they would have grown up in communist Russia.
Communist. This is, I think, actually one of the reasons why we left. Because my father is very outspoken and very free spirit. Uh-huh. And in Russia, you cannot do that.
Right.
Like, they used to have a newspaper. And there was... Since Putin became, like, a president, like, my entire family was, like, struggling. Because you cannot express yourself. Like there's no freedom of speech. Like,
right.
Like, and my father grew up in that environment. Like, you cannot say... Like, he was almost went to jail because when he was in high school, he was selling jeans. He was buying jeans from international students.
Right.
African Americans. And he was reselling them.
Right.
And that was illegal. Which is now considered business. Back then, it was illegal.
Right.
And he almost went to this junior... How you call it? Like... prison for teenagers.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like a Boston.
Yeah. So nowadays it's called internship. Like you just become a businessman, you know, doing that. You sell it on eBay, on Amazon. And so, and he was always, I think I also was programmed like by him, like, hey, you need to live to the country where you have freedom, where you can express yourself. And yeah.
So with a Russian father and a Ukrainian mother, and with what is very unfortunately going on right now in that part of the world, how do those conversations come up with the three of you guys? And you're all, obviously all in the States now.
We're all in the States, yeah.
How have you approached that with your mom and dad and maybe your extended family? Are they still in Russia?
Yeah,
or
I have relatives on both sides. I have relatives in Ukraine. And one uncle is in Mariupol, another uncle is in Kyiv. And my dad's relatives are in Russia. But my father is very pro-Ukrainian from the day one. Like, he's very political. My father's very political, has a hundred of opinions. And he supports Ukraine from day one. So they almost, like, when Crimea conflict happened, my parents even opened, back then they were in Russia, and they opened, like, a medical center, free medical services from people from Crimea area, so they can get, like, medical, because we had a lot of refugees.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we don't have any conflicts about that. So we were all on the same side. Like, we against Putin, we against the regime, we want to support Ukraine.
Mm.
But it's hard, you know, like, when your relatives are still in Ukraine, sure. It's mm-hmm. like... And then sometimes I'm like, I even feel guilty. I'm like, I live this beautiful life and like, and they struggle there.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, we can help as much as we can, but it's, you just feel like here in a bubble, you know?
Did a film in Ukraine, in Crimea.
Crimea. Oh, wow.
I don't know, 10 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Slater, Sean Bean, Bing Rames, myself. We're in Crimea for, I think, 5 or 6 months, something mm-hmm. like that.
And how was your experience, like, just with people?
With people, we worked a lot. It was a beautiful part of the world. Lots of kind of countryside and, you know, beaches and stuff. The crew were lovely. I'm trying to think, what were the steps? I mean, very strong vodka.
Vodka?
It seemed to be a tradition.
Gorilka. They call it Gorilka, no?
Did you drink? Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
There was a tradition on a Friday when we finished to take, like, the... the roe, the eggs of fish. Mm-hmm. People would put it on their hand here.
Ikra. Mm-hmm.
You take a shot of this? The vodka. And then this.
Caviar. Yeah,
it's and like people would just come around the party. More vodka. So very fast drinking.
Yeah. And you cannot say no, right?
You can't say no. It's rude. So you'd have to make excuses to leave. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, you finish at 6 and by 20 past 6, you've had like 8 shots of vodka. You know, so you're like, I gotta go home. But it's beautiful. The weather was incredible. Mm-hmm. Really warm and sunny and beautiful. And it's the first time I'd seen Sean Bean in a long time. In fact, Sean Bean, we were on set chatting one day. And Sean said, I did this really great show. A couple of months ago, I thought you really like it. I'm not sure if it's going to be good or not. It's on HBO. It's called Game of Thrones. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that went okay then.
Yeah. He was like fantastic, but he wasn't sure if it was going to find an audience. Meanwhile, it becomes the biggest show on TV, you know. So, yeah, beautiful memories in Ukraine.
I see. Yeah, I'm glad you had a good experience.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
So, you're doing, to try and help the people of Ukraine, you're doing a comedy tour just now, is that
we
right?
We do, yeah. I do, it calls Make Laughs Not War, to support Ukraine. We did the first show in March in comedy store, like 100% from ticket sales went to charity, Global Empowerment Mission. I do whatever I can. Now I'm on a tour. Hopefully, we're going to do another one in Carolines, Broadway and Carolines in New York. Also, 100% ticket sales go to charity.
And when's that going to be? Do you know?
We think in October.
In October?
October, yeah. I want to do it right. I want to have like one household comedian, big name, and the rest of like Russian and Ukrainian comics. We do comedy in English, but for like to support Ukraine. You know?
Yeah, I was watching you online. Very funny.
Mm. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for watching.
Not only could you beat me up, you made me laugh enough.
the perfect woman. Now, do you touch upon what is occurring in Ukraine, or do you just have Ukrainian comedians come on and talk about funny things?
We talk about the war. Like, maybe not 100% of the set.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like people expect us.
Yeah.
Like make a statement. Like, what are your... Where do you stand?
Yeah.
So, like, we do talk about it. Even like American comedians always like have their opinions and taking it to the table and trying to, you know, it's hard to make fun of the war, but we're not making fun of the war, right? We're making fun of people who created the war.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's really important, and you know, comedy has always been important for kind of getting across kind of difficult ideas and difficult thoughts, and. I think you could argue just now that it's getting more difficult for comedians because they get scared to say the wrong thing.
Mm. It is. And nowadays, the people sensitive.
I know.
The cancel culture thing.
And comedy has to push those boundaries. It has to, because that's how we get ideas. It's through art. It's through plays and comedy. And, you know, we have to let our comedians say difficult things sometimes, because it can change ideas and it can change the world, really.
Yeah, we are living in a very tricky time for a lot of artists, but I have felt like comedians more than anyone else are really at the forefront of that, because like you said, Bills, most of the time a smart comedian will be leaning towards the subjects that are a little hard to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not, we've obviously done the whole, you know, flying in planes and staying in hotels type of comedians. But now, you know, the ones that are really making a difference are the ones talking about these things that are a little difficult to talk about. And if you're not given a platform where you can take some risks and take some chances that doesn't include someone saying, you said that one word, we never want to hear from you again, then what chances are there for a stand-up comedian? They're always about being risky. You know?
And you have to be, if you want to be good, you have to be risky. You have to be like right on the edge, right?
Yeah.
It's like, and I feel like still in comedy, we still have more freedom of speech more than anywhere else.
Mm.
But some comics are scared, like, because you don't want to get canceled, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, there's a fine line all the time. But I do agree with both of you. Like, I feel like stand-up comedy is something that might save us, because we need this like outlet for like, what do you guys do? Podcasts. It's amazing.
Right.
It's a freedom of speech. You express your opinion publicly, you know?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's like, that's what we all need to do. Like,
do you have comedy heroes, stand-up comedian heroes that are kind of your icons?
Like I'm thinking nowadays. Well, among women, I love Sarah Silverman.
She makes a podcast next door.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Love her.
She's fantastic.
She's fantastic.
Very
funny. Smart. You know,
so
like she's always also like right on the edge. You know, like she's right there.
Yeah.
Love her. Well, if you talk about, there are not that many political comedians nowadays, because when we look at, it's dangerous. Mm. Like, we were looking, like, when you're going through the cast, who we want to attach to the show, I'm like, well, there are not that many. Like, right. people, no? It's like, it's a lot of people talking about relationships, like airplanes, you know, like.
Yeah, but, and if you're doing a show that's make laughs, not war, and you're going to talk about the war, you're going to talk about Russia, you're going to, and then people are like, ooh, scared to cross a line somewhere. As you're saying, you might not be able to go to Russia now. Ooh. I mean, you'll be able to go, but not whether you can get out again.
Yeah, that's what my father pointed out. He's like, because I do a lot of charity, like I support like Ukrainians, and we do like a global empowerment mission, one of the charity organizations, but also publicly express my opinion, right, about Putin and what is really wrong, what he does. If I go to Russia, I'll be able to go, but I'm not sure if is that easier to leave, because when you leave the airport, they check your Instagram, they check your...
Wow.
So I'm not famous. I'm famous by my legal name. They don't know Anya Zova. So it's kind of easier because I have a second name now, like stage name. But they're going to check. And even on the street, sometimes people get like pulled over by randomly. You walk on the street and police officer comes to you and says, hey, like, give me your phone.
Oh.
And they go through your Instagram, your Facebook, your emails, your text messages. And just anything you say, a little bit sketchy, sounds a little bit sketchy, like for Putin, they're going to arrest you.
It's a real
game. That's a dangerous time.
I mean, that place in the world over there is so wonderful as well for art, for high art, for, you know, ballet and plays. And I mean, it's so wonderful. And it's a shame that it's getting twisted into something else. Huh?
It is. I feel like it has to stop. Like, it's 2022. Like,
yeah,
really? It's still happening? Like, why is the entire society, entire world doesn't do something?
I just thought it was 2023 there.
No.
Honestly, when you said it's 2022, I was going to correct you. And I was like, wait, hang on a second. I might have got this wrong.
It
is 2022, right? Yeah, I do. I live in the future.
That's what happens as we get older. Things get all mixed up, Tom.
What's going on?
I don't know what's going on.
Tell us what's going to happen in 2023 if you live there.
Yeah.
Give us
hope. Well, hopefully, we'll be winning more games of League of Legends, William. And Billy and I will go. Billy just got back from an amazing surf holiday. And hopefully at some point in 2023, we can go on a little surf trip together.
Have you ever tried surfing?
I would love to.
We'll invite you because we might need protection down in Mexico. And you've got a hell of a kick.
Well, but not from the sharks. I cannot protect you from the sharks.
No one.
I think you could kick a shark.
I could.
Why not?
A shark, yeah.
I mean, what a life. What a life you're leading.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and then even like the acting. So did the acting come from the wrestling?
Yes, I
from
fall in
the
love.
Acting in Russia?
Acted in Russia. I always wanted to act in Russia, but it's like in Russia, it's hard. Like, in order to be an actor in Russia, you have to go to university and study for 5 years to get your master's.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like here, you go to acting school, you pick up some skills, and you go to audition. And I'm
If that.
Yeah,
some people just look pretty in a restaurant and they're like,
come on, you're in the Marvel movies.
Or you're TikTok famous and.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, don't get Billy onto TikTok. He's going to lose his marbles.
but you're right, because I actually studied a little while in Poland.
Oh.
And the way that they study for acting, even compared to Britain, like we were doing some Chekhov over there, and those guys would go in at like 6 a.m. to do a gym workout and then work on their voice and body
movement.
Everything. Yeah. I mean, it's super serious.
It is.
So you didn't do that?
No. I was like, my parents were like, okay, I need to get like a real career. Like, okay, I'm going. So I went to law
school. Yeah, be a wrestler.
Almost. Well, I went to law school, did that. And then I was like, when I moved here, I'm like, okay, this is maybe I can try it. And in WWE, this is when I really liked it. Like, it was fun. It's like, feel free, you can become another character, you can create a character. Yeah. It's like, wow, I feel like a child again. You know, like when you become this playful, you find this playfulness inside of you. And after WWE, I found an agent and kind of everything like took off from there. I mean, I didn't do that big movie. I did Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That was fun.
How did that was just an audition?
It was an audition from my agent, and they were looking for a Russian actress. And back then I was living in Miami, so my agent had to lie. And he's like, well, she's LA-based. I'm like, okay. So I flew in and worked like LA based, and then eventually I moved here. So,
wow.
Fantastic. It is play. That's the funny thing, I think, with actors who do it for a living, when they are hanging out with people who are not necessarily working in something that is play orientated, is that I think we underestimate maybe just how important play is in our life. Like, it's something that I need to do. It's probably the reason why I play computer games. It's the reason why I love board games. It's the reason why I'm always looking for like a joke or something silly. Even though I do enjoy that, I think it does speak to the job that I do, because just for me personally, to do the best job that I can do on a film set, I have to be in a state of play. I have to make sure that the crew are kind of in a state of play, and my cast members, if it gets too serious or too earnest, I feel like the options are limited, and I want to see if there's more and more options. Yeah. So the play thing is not to be underestimated.
Yeah, it gives you a spark, right? Yeah, like you feel like playful, easy, childish. Yeah. I remember you from Lost.
I
sent your picture to my dad. I'm like, look who's going to interview me. He's like, oh my God, because we all watched Lost. And I remember back then, it was no Netflix, no like networks. So we had to buy DVDs.
Yeah.
And I remember I went to London like for 2 weeks. We had like exchange program for students. And I found those Lost DVD for sale. And I was so excited that I could bring them home to my parents. That was like second season or third season. It was like such a treasure, you know, like you have a Lost.
That was a great show.
I love that show.
It's funny as well, because I've met over the years, I remember certainly in Russia, in St. Petersburg, the Russian person who does my voice in Russia. So he said to me, I did your voice in Lord of the Rings. I did your voice in Lost. So then he said, you have to keep working because I have to keep doing the other
job. Give me my job. Yeah.
Just another extra pressure there. But I wonder what my voice sounds like in Russian. Hopefully similar.
It's really high. It's all that. I'll find the clip. I'll send it to you.
So yeah, do that.
So is that your main drive now? The stand up and but still acting. You still
still act. Yeah, yeah, but like once I fell in love with stand up, like about 4 years ago, like it like took over my life. I was like, wow, because in Russia we don't have stand up. Like nowadays, I left Russia like 11 years ago, and this is when the stand up started in Russia. Mm-hmm. So back then we had nothing. Like we had sketch comedy, like what Zelensky, president of Ukraine, did. Like he did sketch comedy.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
we did, like we did that. We had that. But stand up comedy just started there. And when I moved here, I'm like, I found it like stand up comedy. I'm like, this is fun. And you kind of have a little bit more control over your career, you know?
Yeah.
Like versus like, yeah, you still, there are no auditions, but you have to make connections with bookers and managers of the clubs. But you write your own material. Like nobody controls you how much. Like you can be on stage every night if you want to. They're open mics. So when I found that, I'm like, wow, this is fun. It's it keeps your brain always on fire, and you have to keep your opinion going.
And are you consistently trying? How long would an act be for you? Are you looking for a 10 minute, 15 minute type act?
It depends. Like with Make Love's Not War, I headlined. So I did like 30 to 40 minutes on the road. In LA, it's hard to do headlining gigs because so many comics, big comics. Right. So in LA, if I get 15 minutes set, I'm like, I'm really happy.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. So you do usually in LA 5 to 15 minutes.
Right.
So where can people see you just now?
Well, I just did improv on Saturday. That was fun. Well, I did the cold opening for Sebastian was on the show, Eric Griffin. I was like, damn, this is so cool.
Yeah, you know, great.
With those guys. Yeah.
Great people.
I have a show Friday in Huntington Beach.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
What is it, Jay Leno's
I think it's closed. Jay Leno does Burbank.
Oh, right.
He does Flappers.
He did have one by the beach though, right?
He did. But I think it was before pandemic. Yeah. So I'm doing the Ahmed show in Sea Grill in Huntington. So it's like on the beach, but it's a big venue. So it's very cool.
Oh, great.
It's on topic, but it's going to sound slightly random at first. My gardener also works at another person's garden. And he said to me a few weeks ago, he was like, hey, this person, my other client, is giving away a whole bunch of like huge flower pots because they're redoing their garden. Do you want them? And I said, yeah, let me come around and see if that's okay. So I went around and saw. I met the wife, said hello. We organized buying the pots. And then when I bought the pots and he dropped them around, I realized that that was Bill Burr's wife. And I love Bill Burr. He might be my favorite comedian right now.
Did you see his last special?
Yeah, on Netflix.
On The Rocks.
Because there's a guy who says, all right, I'm going to upset you guys.
Abortions?
Right, 20 times tonight.
Yeah.
And you need to realize that this is jokes. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm trying to make a point, but I'm trying to make you think and have fun at the same time. You know, he's brilliant, Bill.
Amazing.
Burr.
Very amazing. Talented. Like this bit about abortion he did at the end of the special. I was like, damn, so brave, you know? Like, thank you, Bill. Yeah.
Yeah, he's super brave.
So good. He does. I just saw him last week. He did, like, there's a great venue called Supernova. Mm-hmm. It's in Hollywood, it's like outdoors. And it's like there are like 3D screens all over the stage. So it's kind of psychedelic almost experience.
Wow.
And there's a comic on the middle of stage. I'm doing this venue August 13th. And Bill does this room all the time.
Oh.
So it's like what I like about LA, like you can see those big comics in like random places. Like, you know, like it's a show in Hollywood, Under the Stars. Yeah. And yeah, Bill is amazing.
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
Billy and Dom eat the world.
William, should we eat the world?
Well, yeah, me and Dom like to eat the world every week. And obviously, with Anya here, it's going to be something sort of Russian.
A Russian.
Not only something Russian, Billy, but something that will remind us of a wonderful meal that you and I had a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. Billy and I finished about an hour early from a convention. We were going to go back to the hotel, get changed, have a shower, whatever, go to the airport. And then we were like, well, we've just bought ourselves an extra hour. Why don't we grab a lunch on the way to the airport? And then you don't need to worry about the potentially dodgy food on the airplane. Went to a fantastic seafood restaurant with Mr. Elijah Jordan Wood. And we ate caviar and blinis. And I believe these are blinis, right?
Mm-hmm. Blinchiki, Russian.
Are they homemade blinis?
I wish I
did. Oh, Anya, you let us down.
No.
I can't lie. I'm a comic. I can't lie.
Okay.
But it's a freshly made from a Russian lady, Russian store. So don't worry.
For a moment there, I thought, comedian, she can beat the heck out of us.
Yeah. She can cook.
She was a wrestler and an actress. And she's going to have made us blinis. This is going to be amazing.
Well, that's why I'm not married. If I could cook, I would be married by now.
Okay. Is that how it works over in Ukraine?
Yeah, it does.
Thank you, Shanti. Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, should we eat these with our bare hands? Oh, no, you've got a fork.
It smells good. Look, we've got some vodka. Is it?
It's not non-alcoholic.
Non-alcoholic. What is this? Is the drink from Russia?
It's a drink from Russia. It's Tarhun, which is...
Tarhun.
Is that right?
That's very good.
I'm
very
great with pronunciation.
Very good pronunciation. So it's soda, but it's with natural herbs.
Natural herbs.
Natural herbs. Yeah, so.
Okay.
It still has some sugar, but the flavor you see is from natural herbs. So it's pretty cool.
So I got this fruit smoothie today, right? From my favorite fruit smoothie place. But unfortunately, the guy, when he's writing on the side of the cup what you want, he holds the cup with the inside of his fingers while he's writing it. And I was going to say, is there a chance you could maybe hold it in a different way? But then I worried that if I annoyed him personally, he might say, right, I'm going to go rub another part of my body on the inside of this cup when he's not watching. So I just kept quiet.
Like his butthole.
Yeah. But how would I approach that? Would you have said anything, Bills?
I would have. I'd have said, get your fingers out my cup.
But then you'd trust that the fruit smoothie is going to make you would be untarnished.
The way I'd have said it, I'd have given him the fear. So he'd have feared that I might have kicked him in the face.
What about you, Anya? Is that something that you would talk about, or would you just say, you know what, I don't want it?
I probably wouldn't. What surprises me is that you still drunk it.
Yeah.
You're like, let me just taste this guy's fingers.
Yeah. I think the next time I want to go in there, I want to say something to him. But
I think you should. Let it play inside you until it becomes a real anger.
Well, it wasn't an anger. Mine was more of a, I would say, meekish thing. Shall I give it to you? I was going to say, excuse me, could I just ask you something?
Yes.
When you're holding the cup and writing the name of the smoothie, you're holding the cup with the inside of your fingers, and then I have to drink from... Is there a chance you could hold it from the outside?
No.
I'm going to go down the street to the other place.
That's okay. We've got your money.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
See you later.
See you next time.
See, I've ruined it, Anya.
Yeah.
Right, what are we starting with? The juice first?
Yeah, let's do the juice first. What's it called again, Anya?
Tarhun.
Tarhun.
Tarhun. How does that translate to something, or is it just a sound?
Tarhun is just the sounds, but actually it's funny. Anytime I say it now, I think about it, because tarhun, no, there is no meaning. It's a funny word, actually.
Smell it first, because the smell reminds me of something.
Does it smell like those aniseed
pills? Aniseed. Yeah.
It smells like pills, no? Like medical.
Oh, pills? Yeah. What pills are you on?
I'm not an
I'm
going to
drug you now.
Hang on, let's have a taste. Yeah, this smells like aniseed balls. Would that be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice color. It's like Hulk green.
Green. Yeah, that's it's like a slightly herby, spicy drink.
Yeah. Right, here we go.
So is it more Russian than Ukraine drink?
I would say both. Actually, our food, like, it's very similar. Like Russian Ukrainian food is very similar.
Do they mix it with a little vodka?
No, we drink vodka straight.
Oh,
we don't mix
it.
This is
no
American.
Messing around. No messing around. Shots.
Would you mix this with anything?
You could. Actually, maybe with vodka, it would be like a nice cocktail. But we just don't do it. Like, we drink most of the stuff straight.
And would you drink this on a normal day?
Yeah.
Like now, here?
Here? Yeah. Yeah, like my father drinks it. Like in Miami, he goes to a Russian store. This is what, instead of Diet Coke or Coke, he buys that.
It's nice. Yeah. I like it.
I'm honestly, I'm going to have to be honest because Anya, you've been very honest with us right now. I'm not sure I do like it.
I do like it.
I love honesty. I love honesty.
It's okay, but I mean, to drink that as like a Coca-Cola.
It tastes like, because it feels like you're drinking something like pills. So like,
yeah.
Like something prescription. I don't know what it is, right?
I like it.
Okay.
I like the colour a lot.
Oh yeah, it's Hulk green. Slimy green.
It's
yeah.
really bright green.
Green.
Right, what have we got here? Right. Come on, Anya.
Okay, so.
Why is there two of them?
So this little one says blinchiki, right? It's a
Blinchiki.
How called crepes? Crepes. You know, when I moved here, I called crepes creeps. And I did
creeps.
Creeps, like creeps. Because for me, it sounds very similar. I'm like, what do you mean creep? Like creep is a person who's like creepy. I'm like, no, I mean like food, you know? Like
creeps. So like a creep.
This one is so sweet. It has a cottage cheese inside.
Cottage cheese, right?
We eat cottage cheese a lot.
Do you?
Sour cream and cottage cheese. This is like a... Please be honest with me.
That
he's not sure.
No, that is much better than I thought it was going to be. When I touched it with my finger there, Anya, I thought, I don't like that constituency.
Wait, what constituency?
Yeah,
you got a political.
Politically, it's not up my street.
Yep.
Look at that, Dom.
Oh, it's all coming out.
Remember, you were talking about those little hairless dogs you get in Mexico.
Yeah,
that's what it's like pressing their tummy there.
Oh God, that's
so. I don't like that.
You don't like the softness, and
But when I bite it, I like it.
Mm, so this is more of a dessert thing.
It's sweet, isn't it?
Is this something you would eat for breakfast with a cup of coffee?
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would like that.
Yeah, we also make them sometimes with chicken, eggs. But this is like I like it the best.
Give us the name again.
Blinchiki.
Blinchiki.
Perfect. Blinchiki.
Okay.
And what's the other one here?
Now, the other one seems fried.
This is fried, yes. So this is, I'm not a fan of it, but this is what usually you get on the streets in Russia. Like, you know, like here you get in LA tacos on the streets.
Yeah.
Like, this is what you get in Russia. It has meat inside.
What type of meat?
I believe it's beef.
Meat.
I went to smell it there, Anya, and I got confused and I smelt my mic.
Oh, Billy, come on. Billy.
Have you ever done that before where you forget what you are done?
Yeah, I sometimes forget.
So when I taste it, for me, it reminds me like of my years in university. Like, that will be my lunch.
Oh, now, I was going to say, is this something that you would have if you're a little drunk on the way home? It looks like kind of drunk.
Yeah, it is drunk. It's like after a nightclub.
On a Russian bus.
Mmm, now I like that. That's my favorite of the three.
You like fat food.
I do, I like fatty food.
Which is a shame because you're not bulking, I'm bulking.
I'm lithe, I'm quite lithe. Mmm, it's good that, Anya.
Good, I'm glad you like it.
It's nice. I think when it was fresh out the oven and crispy, it'd be even better.
Yeah, like most things.
How did you get napkins?
Oh, you didn't get one?
Did you get one?
I got one.
Hang on, William.
Hold on, he's passing it. Wait a minute, I've got one there. It's underneath the plate. Thank you very much.
Anya, have you ever bombed on stage?
Oh, plenty of times.
Could you talk us through your worst bomb? And maybe explain to the audience out there if they don't know what a bomb is.
Bomb is, it's when you go on stage and you say something and all you hear is silence. And this is the most painful thing for a stand-up comedian. If you get booed on stage, it's not as bad as hearing the silence.
Okay.
Just nothing.
Nothing. It's just like dead silence.
And does it mean that they don't really understand what you said more than anything else?
Because they just don't like it.
They just don't like it. Maybe it's not funny. But it happened, first time I did an open mic and I killed it. I got like, there's a guy who went in front of me. He was Ukrainian. He did a bunch of Ukrainian stuff. And I just went after him and I just kind of went off his material.
Mm-hmm.
And people were laughing. I'm like, oh, this is easy. Stand-up comedy is easy. And second, my open mic, I tried to do my jokes and I bomb. I'm like, oh, there's a technique you need to learn. It's not that easy. It has to be some kind of a trick, you know. There is this premise and setup, a punchline. It's a technique, you know, something that you can learn. It's painful when you're on stage, but I used to be like very upset. Sometimes I go drive in my car, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not funny, this is so bad. But then you take it from another perspective. I'm like, okay, let me take all the audience as my writing partners. Okay, so they're here to help me. So if they're not laughing, okay, I need to work on the joke or drop the joke or change something in it. And if they're laughing, okay, this is... But there are ways of doing it. Now when I had experience, like, I'm like, okay, if they're not laughing, I can say it. Oh, okay, it's not funny. You guys not laughing. Yeah. And then they start laughing. You know, I'm like, right. Okay, you just have to like kind of embrace the truth.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I didn't do well tonight. You just
lean into the thing that scares you type mm-hmm. thing.
That's painful.
And everybody bombs, right? Every standard everybody. Comedian bombs. It reminds me of that R.E.M. song. Everybody bombs.
I'm not sure about that last note.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, even the best guys. We'll have moments on stage where they're like, yeah, I guess that didn't really resonate.
Yeah, it's like one, you have like name in the industry, like people gonna laugh at you with you more because out of respect, like you'll see something coming. But even then, like I've seen big guys like, okay, this is not working. Let me change to another topic. It happens. Mm. It happens to everybody. It's just the beauty of stand-up comedy. Like it's never ending. It's like you think you have success and you're like, oh, there's another level. I need to create new material, like, you know? Mm.
Now, you've got all this stuff from a Russian store in town, is that right, Anya? Are there places in LA where you can access all the things that you might miss from where you
I found one in Encino, which is like 10 minutes drive from you guys.
Lovely.
Very cool place called Rasputin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they're good. And I know it's fresh. Like, they make it right there. The kitchen is kind of a little bit open so you can see.
Nice.
It's fresh, yeah. There are a couple of places. There's one in Topanga, Studio City. It's like 3 or 4 places.
We mark them. Don't we, Dom?
Yeah,
we give them scores. And the scores are based on the taste, of course, how it looks, and how useful is it in your kitchen, if you have it. Now, should we put it all as one thing, as one sort of Russian meal? I think we can, Dom.
So the overall vibe of
The overall vibe of this.
Wow. Yeah, because it looks like zero.
No.
We're averaging
taste-wise.
No, not at all. In fact, the last one, I'm absolutely loving. I'm trying to save room for dinner tonight, Billy, because Billy and I are going to have a wonderful sushi extravaganza. But I love this thing.
I like the taste of everything, to be honest. As a taste, all in, as a Russian tasting meal, I'm going to have to give that, and we do it out of 10, I'm going to have to give that an 8.9.
My God, that's high.
It's a high score.
You're too nice to me. Food.
It's delicious.
He's actually not a nice person.
No.
So he wouldn't try and save you, you know, by being a pleasant guy. He can be deeply unpleasant.
Yeah.
So you're just being honest there. 8.9. Gosh, I have to say, I know we're taking it on an average. The juice has brought down the average score to me. Yeah. And the fried delicacy has pumped it up.
Right. Well,
and
a
little soft guy's in the middle.
Meet it in the middle.
I'm going to give it a 7.3.
Well, that's all right.
I like how specific you are. Like 7.3.
Oh, yeah, we get very
specific.
What's up
with men? Why men always like to give numbers to everything? To women, to food.
Oh, to women.
And more so in America. America love numbers.
They love numbers.
Which is a shame because I'm terrible with numbers.
Me too, I'm terrible.
Oh, we should talk about this.
I'm great at numbers.
You're good at numbers?
Yeah.
Well, what's 9 plus 14?
Well, that's 23, Dom.
Hang on.
25.
Well done. Did you do it like that?
Yeah, just math. That's just math.
That's amazing.
Yeah, thanks.
Anya, do you want to give it an average score?
Well, I would give it a 6.
A 6?
That's not bad for taste. It's all right.
It's
but you were,
yeah, it's 6.
If it was homemade, it went up, Anya, but you couldn't be bothered.
I cheated.
That's okay.
How does it look, Dom? What the aesthetics of it?
Well,
this little guy's brought it down with his little tummy.
Yeah, the little guy with the cottage cheese explosion inside, I'm not really into. And the lovely fried delicacy just looks like a folded over pancake. I will give a little bit of an extra score because I, like you, was delighted by the slime green colour.
It's quite a green, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a hulky green. So that's pumped it up to a 6.2.
That's not bad, Dom. Yeah, it doesn't look great. It doesn't look like, you know, anything I haven't seen before, except for
the green. Yeah.
So because of the green, we'll give it a 7.2.
Right. And
do you want to give it a score, Anya?
Thoughts.
For how it looks.
How it looks?
Yeah.
It doesn't look good.
No,
like you see like sometimes delicious and beautiful. Not sometimes
beautiful
good, but
food,
beautiful. But I don't think it's beautiful.
Right.
I would give it like a 3 or 4.
Oh. It's only getting a 3 or a 4.
And you're not
we'll call it a 3.5.
You're quite strict against your own nation's food.
you'll find that with people that have been world champions. They're very specific.
Standards are very high.
Standards are high, yeah.
How useful is it? If you've got it in the kitchen, is there other things you can do with it? Like, could you open that up?
You can open it up, yes. So,
and then scrape out the stuff and make a cake?
A cake? No, you can actually, this is like already folded.
Yeah.
But you can actually make it like unfolded and let people just put their own cottage cheese in it.
Ooh, okay.
So like you kind of like, instead of like being super like fat and like, you know, like you can just choose whatever ingredients you want.
But if it was in your fridge and you had leftovers and you had that and you had three eggs and a pint of milk, and you couldn't say, oh, I'll cut that up and I'll make it into
it. No, I wouldn't do it.
Well, I think the fried thing, not that I've ever had it, but I think the fried thing with like a poached egg on top sounds fantastic. A little egg yolk pouring into it.
Except if someone made it for you. You know, Dom will not eat an egg if someone else has made it.
I won't eat other people's eggs, then you.
Why?
I just have a thing about it. I like
eggs?
Yeah, which is weird because obviously the eggs aren't mine. They're chicken's eggs. But when I get them from the supermarket, then I take ownership of them. And then if someone were to come into my house and say, you sit there, watch the football, I'll make you a couple of scrambled eggs, I'd think, I'm not going to eat those. But if I make them, I'll eat them.
That's incredible.
But what about other food? Like if it would be like toast?
Someone else's toast. Mm. I'm a little weird with dairy stuff like milk. I'm going to need to give it a bit of a once over, you know? Like if someone says, do you want milk in your tea? I would look at it from a distance and go, no, I'm okay. I'll just have a glass. You know, apart from that, I'm okay.
From a distance?
Not sure if I'd eat other people's ice cream.
Wouldn't you?
No, it might be a dairy product. If there's anyone out there that has the same kind of issue and has got to the bottom of it, I'd love to hear from you. What about you, Anya? Is there anything that you... But outside of that, is there anything that you absolutely will not eat? Like, I do not like eating pigs.
I wouldn't eat rabbit. Like, you know, in Russian tradition, like people eat rabbits.
Oh, do they? Is that a Russian delicacy?
Yeah, a lot. And I remember I was like, I don't know, 5, 6 years old, and my mom cooked a rabbit. And they told me during the dinner, it's a rabbit. Mm. I started crying hysterically. I'm like, I'm not going to eat a rabbit. For me, it's like a cat, like eating a cat, you know, like they're pretty, they have fur, like something you pet. So this is one thing, like, I wouldn't eat.
My dad, when he was younger, walked past a butcher's shop. And there was a sign in the butcher's shop. Said, Watership Down. You've read the book, you've seen the film, now eat the cast. They had a whole bunch of rabbits hanging in the window. Isn't that brilliant, though? That's brilliant.
It's brilliant. It's
okay, so you won't eat rabbit. Apart from that, you okay?
Everything else I would eat.
William, is there anything that you won't eat?
Well, you know, I was pescatarian. I only ate fish for about 15 years.
Wow.
Until about 3 or 4 months ago.
Now
and I started eating meat again. And I don't know why. I don't know why I started eating meat again, but maybe I'll stop soon. But at the moment, I'm enjoying it. I'm bulking, I might have mentioned.
You have to listen to your body. Like, I was a vegetarian for a year, and after that, I'm like, one day I was just craving steak so badly. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to eat the steak.
Yeah. Mm. It's weird, isn't it? Mm. It's weird.
I think
anyway,
nothing's ever permanent, you know? So a lot of people make these kind of absolutes. I'm this.
Yeah.
And then a couple of years later, when you're not that, someone says, I thought you said you were that. And you go, well, I was then, but now I'm different. I was 40, now I'm 45. Do you know what I mean? Things change is what I'm saying. That,
you're right, Dom.
Don't give yourself a hard time.
I'm not giving myself a hard time.
Usefulness.
It's not very useful, Dom.
Well,
it is what it is.
You give it your scores.
You can't even, you know what I mean? It is what it is.
Is it?
Yeah. And I don't know if I'd make a smoothie from it. I don't even... I would just like the greenness of it.
You could use the greenness to colour the sponge of a cake and you could make like an incredible Hulk cake.
I'll tell you a conversation I had in the surf the other day. We went for a surfing holiday, me and my son last week. And I was sitting in the water and this guy paddled over and he says, what colour would you say this water is?
Oh,
I said, I think it's green.
Right.
And he says, what green?
Right.
And I said, I don't know. Maybe
marine
like,
green.
Like lime green or something.
Lime green?
And one of the other surfers said, I think it's emerald.
Oh, that's lovely.
And I thought, that's nice. And then another guy came up. He paddled over. He'd a mullet. And he says...
The fish or the hairstyle?
The hairstyle.
Okay.
And he says, I think it's pistachio green.
Oh, come on, guys.
And I said, pistachio green? I said, where did you get that from? He said, there's a place down the street that does ice lollies.
Yeah.
And they do a pistachio one, and it's exactly the same colour as this water.
But pistachios are pale green, surely.
See, when I paddled out, Tom, me and my son got in the car, we went down to that shop, and we had a pistachio ice lolly, and it was the same colour as that water.
Ah, so the emerald guy was way off. Because emerald is a deep, mysterious green.
It's dark.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dark.
Like that?
Yeah, almost like that.
Yeah, I would say similar. That feels more like a forest green to me, but I'm colorblind, so I have no idea.
But that was a good story, wasn't it?
It was a great story.
Thank you.
Well,
it's not very useful. I can only give it a 2.
I disagree. I think the fried dish, if you chop that up and added it with a little bit of like rice or pasta, it'd be a nice little thing. You could put an egg on it. Not sure that this is very useful, but I also think the fizzy drink, the colour of it you can use. So I'm going to pump it up a little bit. I'm going to say a 4.9. Anya?
I would give it a 5.
5?
It's in between, you know. Yeah, like, you can do something with it, but not much. It's just like, you can do some. This is good for alcohol, I'm assuming, right? After our conversation. Right? Yeah, you can mix it with vodka.
Do you ever have Russian evenings at your house, Anya, where you invite people over?
I should have. Like, I do. Well, my landlord is Dutch. We just had a Dutch party. I should do a Russian party.
A Dutch party?
That was fun.
Did he make Dutch delicacies?
What sausages, a bunch of meat.
Did you have dream cake?
What is dream cake?
We had a Dutch guy on. Wait a minute.
Casper.
No, he was Danish.
Oh,
Danish.
Sorry. Yeah, carry on. Danish.
It's the same thing. It's all the same thing.
If you have a Russian time round at your house, invite me and Dom. We'd love to come.
Yes, I should make a Russian party.
Invite us over. And also, you could say to your guests, as a surprise, I'm going to invite these two hobbits over and they don't know, but I'm going to use them both as punching bags to show you guys just how hard I can kick. And you could kick me in the body and Billy in the head.
We'll see how that goes.
Well, he doesn't like to get hit.
No, I don't like to get hit.
Or would you rather get kicked in the head or the body? You can choose.
The leg.
Oh, the leg, the thigh.
Low kick.
Yeah. Low kick.
It hurts.
I wouldn't go body after seeing UFC this year. You can kick me in the head, Anya, and I'll look forward to it.
Okay.
But everybody, please go and see Anya at her stand-up shows and whatever else she gets up to, and make laughs, not war. Let's all go and see those shows when they come on. Do lots of them, please.
Yeah, Thank you, Anya. If there's anything in particular that you want people to know about, you can tell them now.
Yeah, just follow me on Instagram. I post all the shows there. Make laughs, not war. Hopefully October, Caroline's, New York. Going to do a bunch of shows in LA. It's better to follow me on Instagram.
What is your Instagram? What is it?
Anya_Zova.
Well, Anya, it's been lovely having you on.
So much
fun. Thank you for educating us about a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, thank you for educating me a bunch of stuff.
Make sure you leave us all your questions, comments and concerns on our YouTube page. That's The Friendship Onion. And
don't forget to send your artwork, because we're going to have the special art
fan art
episode on the 5th or around about the 5th of September.
Yep.
I don't know where you send it because we're in a new studio.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's down below.
Check it out in the show notes. And also, if you subscribe and rate and review us, we can make more and more shows, and you can come check us out in Toronto at the Fan Expo. Billy and I will be doing a birthday extravaganza podcast for Billy's birthday. So bring your gifts and your kisses. Guys, we'll see you next week.
See you next week on The Friendship Onion.
Toodles.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.